Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
All right. Hey, one down if you're watching live, and of course, another one to go. We're back with yet another hour of the best in money information. Stand by for more with the Brain Trust. We got more of the Bucket Strategy Investing Program. I'm Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum standing by with me, wringing his hands with anxious anticipation, preparing to answer your money questions. It's all coming up here in just a moment or two. Right now, you got the opportunity to take part in the show. We're going to take your calls straight away. Our lines are open, some anyway. You can give us a call, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. Brain Trust standing by, and as I said, we're going to be taking your calls right away. So if you're on hold, just give us about 60 seconds. Right now, though, still is a really good time to get on board because we got some lines open for you at that number. You can also get in touch with the Brain Trust via the email system. You go to our website, wealthed.com. Click on the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. We'll get your emails here in the studio. We had a couple of them off the air here, and we're going to get to them this hour along with the phone calls. We do make it our goal every day on this program to give you the best in money information. It's wealth education, and you can get in touch with the Brain Trust both on the air and off the air. If you want to set up a face-to-face meeting with a Lucia Capital Group advisor, you just want to schedule an appointment or have a question that needs to be answered, whatever it is, call Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Their off-air number, 800-644-1150. Your individual goals, your needs require a financial plan that's uniquely tailored to you. That's why we're standing by here. It's why we do what we do on this program every day. Again, the number off the air at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. Our important number right now, though, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Got a couple of lines open, 877-752-6637. Got a few tax things to talk about, Professor Plum, and some ways you perhaps may have time to lower your income for last year, but you are running out of time. We're going to get, though, next up, actually first this hour, to Lee in Las Vegas. Hi, Lee. How can we help you today?
Good morning, John and Professor Rick. I'm doing my taxes, and I did some IRA distributions, and I want to know whether I have to report them on 15A of the 1040 form. It was an institution-to-institution transfer, so is that reportable to the IRS or is it not?
That's not a distribution.
When I transfer from one IRA account to another account, is that reportable to the IRS on 15A or is that not?
Did you receive a 1099-R from it?
No.
If you didn't receive a 1099-R, you may want to call the brokerage company just to make sure they didn't issue one. If they didn't issue a 1099-R, then the IRS doesn't know about it either.
That clarifies it.
But some IRA custodians will issue a 1099, even though it's a transfer. And
right. You
know, a caller earlier in the show asked about that. He wanted to know what code was going to be used. I don't know what code they're going to use, but some companies, even though they know it's going to another IRA, just issue it as a distribution, especially for 59 and a half or older. And they say, hey, we just sent some money out. Let them deal with it. And if that's the case, and a 1099 was generated, if you don't report it on 15A and then a zero in 15B, the IRS is going to come back and say, hey, you got money. You didn't tell us about it, so we're going to tax you on it. And then you have to show them where the money went, and you have to go back, and it's not fun.
Yeah.
But if no 1099 was created because the money went from IRA custodian to IRA custodian, and I would just want to confirm that with my current or my former IRA custodian, then you don't have to tell the IRS because they don't even know about it.
So it's all predicated on the 1099 form being issued and whether it goes to the IRS then.
Right, because like I said, if the IRS, I mean, you know that it was a non-taxable transfer, not a distribution. So don't use the D word here. It's a transfer.
Yeah, okay.
And it's going to be non-taxable no matter what happens. It's just that you want to avoid the hassle with the IRS. If they don't know about it, they're not going to question you about it. But if they know about it and you don't report it, they'll question you about it.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for clarifying that. I do appreciate it and enjoy the show. Thank you so much.
All right, Lee, thank you for the call. Yeah, you know, sometimes forms are sent just as a formality to the IRS,
right,
even though there's no taxable event to you, even though it was all filled out the way it was supposed to be filled out.
And some custodians just work differently than others. Some will not send a 1099. Some will issue a 1099 and say that it was a trustee-to-trustee transfer. Some will issue a 1099 and say, hey, we didn't bother to look where it went to, even though they wrote the, you know, the ACAT, the transfer, whatever, to the, you know, XYZ IRA custodian for the benefit of so-and-so. They don't care. And so they'll just issue 1099-R, boom, money left us, boom, 1099. And so how you account for it depends on how they told the IRS on you.
The important thing is that if they do issue it to the IRS,
then you better account for it, else you're going
to
get a letter.
You do have to account for it, even if there is no tax consequence to you. But somebody has been told something. It's like the kid tattling on, you know, hey, you know what?
That's the primary purpose of the IRA custodian.
That's right, to tattle on you.
Their job is to tell the IRS on you. IRS is mom and dad. And mom and dad, they took money out of their IRA. Better go figure out what they did with it.
Now, that's the last thing that mom and dad know is that you took money out of your IRA. So they're going to come to you. If you don't tell them, they're going to say, look, why did you do this? You're not allowed to without penalty.
They don't give you the benefit of the doubt.
Right. No, they do not. I don't think that's ever happened, has it?
That doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. Not in the IRS
They just
world.
Assume that you're going to lie about the money that was sent to you.
Well, it's whoever has the whoever sent them the letter last. I suppose that's the way it is. Okay, 877-PLANNER. Let's move along. We just lost a couple calls, so now we still have three lines open, 877-PLANNER. That will put Mary in Port St. Lucie up next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a question. To make it brief, okay, I live in Florida, of course, and I just inherited money from Connecticut, mm-hmm. and my husband's has huge medical bills because of a stage 4 disease.
Oh.
So, for estate planning, what would you suggest?
Well, it's your money. The inheritance is not his money. It's your money. You said you're the one that inherited it, right?
Right. But when I go to apply for VA or Medicaid or for help with the drugs, they always ask what the wife makes and what I have for assets.
Well, I mean, it is, they're going to ask for it, and unless you, with Medicare, or excuse me, Medicaid.
No, it's Medicaid I'm worried about, right.
If Medicaid, if you give it away now, you've received the money, it's your money. If you give it away now, there's a look-back period. I'm not familiar with the state of Florida, whether they've moved it up to the 60 months or not, but it may be a five-year look-back that they could make you ineligible or him ineligible for Medicare. Medicaid.
Well, that's what's happening. Well, that's exactly what's happening.
Right. And so, and there's no way around it. Now, with VA, the VA has had a zero look back period, but they, and I don't know the start date of this, they're looking to put a look back period similar to the Medicaid issues on the VA benefits as well. But the idea is they want you to pay for your own care, not the government to pay for your own care or your husband's care. And unfortunately, you inherited the money. It is now your money, and it's as if you'd always had the money. And so now you got to deal with the rules that are involved. Yeah. Do you owe any money on your house?
No.
Okay.
I almost think it'd be good to buy a bigger house because that they won't touch.
That's your call.
Oh, okay. The other question, though, what if I made an income stream out of the money? Is that considered?
Well, if you could take the money and buy an annuity, an immediate annuity that gives you a guaranteed income stream of X amount of dollars per month for the rest of your life, and now it's no longer an asset. It's okay. part of the family income, though. And so if that income puts you over the threshold for what, you know, they allow you to keep, then you would end up, they would take some, if you know, of that income. You know, I don't know what your income looks like now, so you would have to look at the income limits to see whether or not you could, whether you're going to lose it anyway. But if you've got a fairly low income and you could shelter a lot of this income because of changing the category from an asset to an income, may help you keep some of that money. And obviously, if you do a life income annuity, you'll keep it for the rest of your life, the income stream. Whereas if you spend the money for medicine and other things, it's no longer there, even unfortunately after your husband passes.
Okay, so I asked for a life income annuity. That's what it's called.
Yeah, you could do a life income annuity. And this would be the old-fashioned immediate annuities. And if you need any help, we can give you some people to talk about that. But it is not the systematic withdrawal benefits that are most commonly being sold today. Those still show up as an asset, not an income. It has to be a true annuitized income. Now, there are some that if you annuitize it, it shows up as an annuitized payment, but then there's a residual value that if you wanted to stop it at some point in the future, there's potentially some money there that you could, you know, cash it in for cash again. Unlike selling it to these places that, you know, say you can sell your annuities that give you nothing for them. So there may be ways to work around this and kind of get a little bit of a benefit of both, but you want to do this right.
Yeah. So Mary, if you have any other questions, hang on. We can talk to you more about it off the air because you may have some questions on how these annuities work. In the case of that, Professor Plum, you're actually giving the money away. You bought something.
And you're actually looking to, right. The rate of return is not the factor here.
No, it isn't.
Because it's a negative rate of return if you keep it in your bank account.
That's true. All right. 877-PLANNER. More to come. Bucket Strategy Investing when we come back.
If you were born on or after January 2nd, 1954, listen carefully. Recent changes enacted by the Social Security Administration as part of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 may impact your Social Security benefits. The policy that previously enabled spouses at full retirement age to claim spousal benefits while allowing their own benefit to grow has been discontinued. This could mean the accrual of additional benefits may no longer be available to you. Changes will also soon be implemented regarding file and suspend claiming strategies. Find out the latest rules, regulations, and restrictions by calling the Social Security hotline at 800-838-0483. The call is free and may clarify some of the new Social Security rules that could affect your benefits. If you were born after January 2nd, 1954, you could be affected. Call 800-838-0483. 800-838-0483. The Social Security hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
Set it and forget it. Out of sight, out of mind, hands off. For many investors, that's how they perceive their 401k plans. Even when they leave their jobs, they leave their 401k investments untouched. Is there more you can do for your retirement with some hands-on guidance supported by a strategy? Learn the options and potentially the advantages. Schedule a rollover review with Lucia Capital Group. Learn how easy it is to take control of your retirement by rolling a 401k into a buckets portfolio. The retirement planning advisors at Lucia Capital Group work directly with each client to develop a strategy geared to their goals. Learn how you may be able to diversify your retirement plan. Take a closer look at the fees you may be paying with an old 401k that's out of sight, out of mind. Call Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services.
If you have sore joints, discover a breakthrough in joint health, Cosamin ASU. A unique patented formula, Cosamin ASU goes to work fast on a cellular level inside your joints. Its active ingredients are shown to inhibit specific enzymes that break down cartilage as you age, helping protect the joint cushioning cartilage important for comfortable activity. Try Cosamin ASU at Costco.com and other fine retailers.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money.
and we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
I've been teaching organic chemistry for the last 17 years, so I'm pretty good with complex calculations. But when I started thinking about my retirement, I was pretty stumped. Luckily, I have TIAA as my financial partner. Together, we retrosynthetically analyzed my financial future, which is organic chem speak for we figured it out.
See how we're helping those who do good do well at the new TIAA.org. TIAA, created to serve, built to perform.
It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, answering your questions here and talking to you about your money. Well, we got a lot of stuff to come to talk about still, and a bunch of emails to get to as well. I think we're on like our third or fourth page of emails, so we will do our best to get to those. But we do take phone calls first on the show, and we're going to continue to do so. Any money question you have, a couple of lines open right now, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Sunnyvale, California. Tom is up next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Johnny Dean. How are you?
Doing very well. How are you today?
Good. Hello to Rick Plum also. I have been listening to you guys for a quite long time, and I have a question related to my investment in some of the partnerships where I get K-1.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the question I have is that I usually get K-1 every year, and I use the TurboTax to do my tax, and I enter, it looks pretty straightforward, I enter everything.
Okay.
So the question I have that when the partnership closes, is there anything in the K-1 or I need to do anything special in my tax so that it knows that it is the end of that K-1 or the investment has closed, or I just enter just like any other year I enter, and it will automatically know that this partnership has been closed or has been sold.
You've been trusting TurboTax up to this point. It's just like if you were using an accountant, you would have been trusting your accountant up to this point to do it correctly. And I don't know if there's a box check that says this is the final K-1 for this partnership. But if there is one, and you enter it into the program exactly as it shows, then the program will know it, just like the accountant would know it. If you're worried about that the program may not know it, and that then you would want to do an accountant for the year, actually pay somebody to do it. So I don't have the accounting of every form down pat yet, and nor do I ever want to. So I cannot answer your question, but if you've trusted the program up to this point, continue to trust it.
So do you know that in K-1, is there anything or any box there which says that this is the final K-1 or
not that I'm aware of.
I've never really looked at the K-1s that closely. I've not studied. I guess I skipped K-1 101 in school, but I don't know. I'd have to look at a K-1 to see if there's something there. I don't remember seeing one there. That doesn't mean it's not there.
I don't remember seeing it either, because I know that sometimes people issue what they think is the final K-1, and then, you know, a month later or sometime in July or August, then you get another one. I've seen instances where that happens.
Yeah, I mean, and many times when you get the first K-1 of the year, you kind of just set it off the side knowing that you're going to get a corrected one later after you file your taxes. But that's the way with K-1s. They're a pain.
Yeah,
so in this case, I'm not talking about a corrected K-1.
I know you're not. Yeah.
I was talking about the K-1 when the partnership is sold. Then you get a K-1 corresponding to K-1 when it is still running in a particular year.
I actually don't know.
Yeah, that's... Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll... Can you look up a K-1 form?
Oh, I've got one right here.
Oh, you got one right there? Well, I mean, you could probably scan it and see.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, I don't think there is. because I mean that would be for somebody to check that would mean that's the end of their liability as far as K-1s being issued, and then all of a sudden you find, oh wait, no, there needs to be.
Well, there is actually a box at the very top of the page.
Oh, excuse me.
Right above part three that says.
Oh, part three.
Final K-1 with a box. Right next to it says amended K-1 with a box. So there is something that says final K-1.
Wow.
At least on the form I got from the IRS right here.
Okay, so that way IRS will know that they don't expect another K-1 because, you know, like if there's a K-1 and suddenly it discontinues, probably IRS will question. But just by knowing that checkbox, they understand that, oh, this was the final K-1, so I'm not expecting another K-1 next year.
I have no idea what the IRS expects or knows, but there's a box on there that says final K-1.
So I suppose if it's checked, they're going to say, okay, this is it, and, you know, if we get anything else after that. Okay. But then the box right next to it says an amended K-1.
Right, so if it's an amended K-1, okay, they check that box.
Right.
Okay, I didn't pay attention on that. Probably I'll go back and look at that one.
Okay. All right.
So that's good. I had a related question because I have some investment through my IRA account, the similar investment.
Okay.
And in first year I got a loss, and in future I'm assuming that there will be a gain. And I know that just to avoid the UBTI, should I be filing a K-1 even though it is a loss, so that in the future if there is a gain I should be able to offset, or when the gain comes then I can go back and file for multiple years to take any benefit from the previous loss?
Well, the UBTI, the unrelated business taxable income, has nothing to do whether you gain or lose on the investment. It's an accounting issue inside. I've seen times where they have great income, great distributions on partnerships, and the UBTI is a negative number, and vice versa. So those are two completely separate issues. The only time you're going to the only time you're going to file a K-1 for the IRA, and if you have an investment that is inside of your IRA that creates a K-1. You can usually disregard the K-1 unless the cumulative amounts of UBTI or UBIT, whatever you want, UBTI, exceeds $1,000. And if the cumulative amount of a UBTI exceeds $1,000 across your IRAs, then your IRA must file a tax return. It doesn't matter whether you made money or lost money on that investment, you had $1,000 or more of unrelated business taxable income inside your IRA, which is a taxable event to the IRA. And like I said, I've seen them lose money and still create unrelated business taxable income. And I've seen tremendous cash flows from different
and where it triggers nothing.
Where it had a negative UBTI. Yeah. So you've got to look at the...
So only if the UBTI box has got some amount, then only I need to worry. If the other amount may be a lot, but the UBTI box doesn't have any amount, then looks like I don't have to bother about
The only time you're going to worry about the K-1 inside of an IRA is if you have more than $1,000 cumulatively across all your IRA's investments that create UBTI.
All right.
Okay, and I believe that there is a box in the K-1 which says that the UBTI income or something like that.
I believe it's box 20, but don't hold me to it.
Okay.
All right.
All the information you gave. Thank you.
All right, Tom, thank you for the call. Are you going to check on that now on box 20? This is really getting into the weeds, folks. We're getting into the nitty-gritty here.
I think it's got like a 3 font in this, so I can't really see it very well.
Well, all right, that's okay. Just for people who are wondering, Professor Plum, inside your IRA, there is a possibility. There exists something called unrelated business taxable income, which is what he was talking about there, UBTI.
Yes.
And this can, actually, this is one of the things where the activity inside of the IRA does get noticed outside of the IRA.
Well, it gets noticed as a taxable event even to the IRA.
Right.
You are not allowed to basically run your own business inside of your own IRA. And you're not allowed to have a business. I mean, there's a difference between being a shareholder, basically an uninterested, you don't help run the business, but a partnership is different. You're a partner. You have the same liabilities as every other partner. And so they don't want you running. You're more closely related to the business when you're in a partnership, even as a limited partner, than you are if you just own stock in a business. And so they have this thing called unrelated business taxable. Right. If it creates UBTI more than $1,000, your IRA owes taxes. And the IRA tax rates are similar in bracket numbers as
but
far as
it gets there.
But there is not as much room.
That's right. Quickly. So while we have said before that what happens inside your IRA nobody can really see what happens until you take the money out. That's not necessarily the case because of
what happens in the IRA doesn't necessarily stay.
Not there. Always. Coming right back, 877-PLANNER.
Lucia Capital Group advisors talk to people every day about their greatest financial fears. Some worry about a repeat of 2008.
I am concerned about another market crash.
Some worry about what will happen if they live to 2048.
I think outliving our money. I know that a lot of people are living longer.
Whether you're worried about a repeat of 2008 or preparing if you live until 2048, make this the year you focus on getting a retirement income strategy that can potentially prepare you for retirement risks such as market volatility or longevity risk.
If you think you need a new strategy for the new year and many years into the future, schedule a complimentary consultation with a Lucia Capital Group advisor now. Call 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, and learn more online at the site dedicated to wealth education, wealthed.com, wealthed.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC, and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
If you've recently left a job or retired, you may have left behind a 401k that you haven't thought about in years. How do you know if that account is still right for your retirement goals? How do you know if the fees are fair? How do you know what an IRA may offer that your old 401k may not? The retirement planning strategist at Lucia Capital Group help you get answers and guidance for your retirement plan. Schedule a rollover review and learn what options may be available for rolling over your 401k. You don't have to make your most important financial decisions through websites and calculators. You can work hand in hand with a Lucia Capital Group advisor who can explain the process to you personally and handle all the paperwork for you. Call for a personalized rollover review. 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
605-5370.
QL1, does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
Negative control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage approval process in minutes.
That is fast, like rocket fast.
It also works on any internet-ready device, so you can get a Rocket Mortgage at any time or place you choose. Over.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3.
All aboard, indeed. We just got all the lines open. I don't know what happened. People hung up maybe during the bottom of the hour news. We got some room on the phones for you. 877-PLANNER. Our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum here from Lucia Capital Group talking to you about your money on the radio, television, internet, etc. at WealthEd.com. You can email us at WealthEd.com. Trying to get caught up on some of these emails, and I'm going to do that right now. By the way, the link there at WealthEd.com to send us an email is Find Your Answer. Okay, now, this, let's see. Elizabeth, I'm not sure how to answer your question, so maybe we'll do that one off the air.
That's almost more of a statement than anything else.
Yeah, it's not really a question. So, Elizabeth, if you email us, I know you email us, we will answer that one off the air. Betty in Penn Valley, California. Hi, says Betty. The end of this month is my 62nd birthday. Well, actually, she says April 30th is my 62nd birthday. Do I apply for Social Security and then suspend? I'm single and own my own business. I plan to work for another 2 years, no heirs. Well, Betty, well, go ahead.
Well, there's really no reason to do anything at this point because
you can't.
You can apply, and whether you want to suspend or not, they're going to suspend your benefit because you're continuing to work.
Assuming
you make more than $16,000 a year. But if you don't make more than $16,000 a year, you can't voluntarily suspend your benefit. So all this hoopla about the April 29th deadline is basically lost on you. There's nothing you can do to preserve your ability to do the file and suspend option and have somebody else pull a benefit from you or undo your mind later, or not undo your mind, but change your mind later on and restart your benefit. Unless you are 66 this April, this month, you can't voluntarily suspend your benefit. And so when you get these emails out there that say, you need to do something by May 1st or by April 30th, really you need to do it by April 29th, but most people don't have the ability to do that because you have to be age 66 or older by the end of April. You have to be not receiving your benefit and want to let your benefit grow until age 70. You have to be not receiving a spousal benefit or want to receive a spousal benefit between now and age 70. And you have to have basically somebody who wants to take a benefit from you over the next 4 years. If you don't meet that criteria, April 30th, April 29th, May 1st, pick the date. It doesn't matter. It doesn't do you any good. And so it's just what it is. I'm sorry, Betty, but there's nothing for you to do at this time. You just keep working. And then in 2 years when you decide to retire, now we can make some decisions on, well, when should you start taking your Social Security benefit? Do you want to take it at 64 or do you want to wait until some later date?
Now, depending on how big Betty's Social Security benefit is, it may not all be wiped out, and depending on how much money she actually makes.
Right.
So we shouldn't say it's going to necessarily all be suspended. It will begin to be suspended after, call it, $16,000 of income.
But that's an involuntary suspension.
Yes.
If you are not going to make more than 16, or if your benefit is not completely eliminated because of the retirement earnings test, you can't choose to suspend it. That's only available at full retirement age.
Yeah, the whole idea of being 62, there were two dates, okay? The age 60...
She missed them both.
Right. Well, yeah, if you missed one, if you missed the age 62, you definitely missed the second one, just by pure laws of physics.
So Betty's ability to potentially, at full retirement age, when 4 years from now, take a spousal benefit only from her current spouse, or if she's single, from an ex-spouse where there was a qualifying marriage, the fact that she was not 62 by January 1st of this year means that she does not have that option anymore. When Betty applies for her benefit, whether it's at 64 when she quits working in 2 years, at 66 or whenever, she will be applying for her own benefit first. Even if she waits until 67, 68, she will be applying for her own benefit first, and only if the spousal benefit is higher than her own benefit would she be able to then also get an extra amount equal to the difference and bring her up to the spousal benefit. If she had been 62 prior to January 2nd of this year, then she could have potentially played some games at full retirement age and applied for a spousal benefit only without applying for her own. But because she wasn't old enough as of January 1 this year, she doesn't have that option anymore.
No, that ran out. So
Betty can ignore all the hype about any of the dates because, unfortunately, she missed them.
Right, yes.
She could do to make them either. You know, you can't just arbitrarily make yourself older. You know,
not in a legal physical sense. No, you can't.
You can
that.
Feel older.
No, you can, and some people do.
Every
usually
morning about 5:45,
usually
I feel
on
older.
Saturday morning or Sunday morning, some people feel that they're a lot older. Okay, all right. 877 Planner. I want to get to this that came in over the weekend. It's not on the list.
Uh-oh.
This went to our buddy Chris Lloyd.
Oh.
In the Phoenix area. But it's a good question, and it's actually one that I'd like to cover again when we talk about required minimum distributions, because it's a question we get all the time. And I may want to also hang on to this email and do it during our first hour for all the people who aren't able to hear this, because it's important. His question, this is from, I don't have a name, but the question was, I turned 70 this year. I will be 70 and a half on September 1st of 2016. I know that I have my first required minimum distribution this year, but I wasn't sure if I have to wait until after September 1st to take it. Do they look at the actual date I turn 70 and a half, or can I take it any time during the calendar year?
Well, they do look at the actual date that you turn 70 and a half, but only to determine the year that you have a required minimum distribution. This is your first required minimum distribution year, 2016. Any distribution at any time during 2016 will qualify towards your required minimum distribution. Even if you took the distribution January 2nd, January 3rd, January 4th, you were only 69 years old. It still counted for a 2016 distribution, and a 2016 distribution counts towards the required minimum distribution for this year, which is your first year of your RMDs. So it's the year,
yes,
not the date.
Right. So if you're 70 and a half at any time, call it during this year, doesn't matter when, you're 70 and a half, and you've been just taking money out, as you maybe have been, out of your retirement accounts, your 401ks, your IRAs, any distribution that you take out of that, whether you meant it to or not, is counting toward your required minimum distribution. You just have a minimum that you have to take, and if you're falling short toward the end of the year, you better make sure you take it out.
Your age 70 and a half birthday only indicates what year you have a required minimum distribution.
Right.
This is the year.
Okay, 877 Planner. I want to get a couple of calls, or at least one, before the break. Let's go to Wayne, Spokane, Washington next. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Good. Hey, I love your show. I listen to it all the time.
Well, thank you.
My question is, my wife is going to be turning 62, and we're thinking about taking her Social Security early. With the $16,000 limit, is she going to start losing money?
If she's
from her
earning
Social Security, the check?
Is she working?
She's already made over the $16,000.
Okay, when she starts receiving her benefit, what month is she going to start receiving her benefit?
September.
Will she continue working September, October, November, December?
No.
Then you can choose. There is a one-year option to base it on a monthly income.
And it's for people in her very situation that it was designed.
And they're only going to look at the monthly income in the years or in the months that she is receiving a Social Security benefit. If she'd made $1 billion in the first 6 months, 7 months of this year, they're not going to look at that income because she was not receiving a benefit during that period of time. And as long as she doesn't receive more than 1/12 of the annual amount in any of the months where she's receiving the benefit, the last 4 months of the year, she qualifies and she passes the retirement earnings test.
Which she won't be, because you said she's going to stop working after September, right? Or in September.
Yeah. So she's good to go to take her benefit as long as she's not working, making more than $1,310 a month right now, or in September and beyond.
Right. Okay. All right. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
How much tax, income tax, is she going to be paying on that?
Well, okay, let's ignore the Social Security for the moment. How much other income for the household will there be?
We're just going to keep it at $60,000.
So not including her Social Security, you're going to have $60,000 from pensions, in IRA distributions, you're working and things like that, right?
Right, right.
Will any of that $60,000 be coming from your Social Security?
I don't receive Social Security. I won't receive any.
Then that answer is no. So so about 85% of her Social Security will be taxable, but you're in the 15% income tax bracket, even with her Social Security being taxable. And so basically you're going to look at 15% of 85, or take 85% of her Social Security,
right?
Multiply it by 15%, and that's the federal tax you're going to owe. You live in a state with no income tax, so you don't have to worry about that one.
Yeah. Hey, Wayne, I got to take a break. So if you have some more questions, please hang on. Feel free to do so. We can talk to you more on the other side of the break. Just got to take a quick couple of minutes here. Make sure all your questions are answered. We've also got Larry in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll get to your question, whatever it happens to be, when we come back. We have a little bit of room and a little bit of time. So try 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, coming right back on Bucket Strategy Investing.
Every investor has their own unique financial fingerprint, each with their own unique concerns.
Concern that I have is that I'm not going to have enough money for retirement.
At Lucia Capital Group, we hear your biggest concerns.
Taxes in retirement. Taxes are already biting us pretty good.
Retirement in today's economy can be overwhelming.
Most of my 401k is in a high-risk investment. I'm concerned about that.
If you're worried about outliving your money, the unpredictability of the stock market, or risks associated with inflation, call Lucia Capital Group for a complimentary plan review. Learn how the bucket strategy is designed to provide opportunities for diversification and investment options in a low interest rate environment. Schedule a consultation at no cost by calling 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com, luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
Social Security rules that may affect your benefits are changing in 2016. Do you know how you'll be impacted?
My question has to do with Social Security and...
The Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 changed the way some couples will file for Social Security benefits.
Are we each allowed to take the spousal benefit on the other?
The rules that previously allowed a spouse to claim a partner's benefit while allowing their own benefit to grow have changed. If you were born after January 2, 1954, you may have questions about the laws affecting restricted claims on spousal benefits. Call the Social Security hotline, 800-838-0483. Find out if you'll be affected and if there's action you need to take. Call the free Social Security Hotline, a resource for updates on changing rules and regulations. Call 800-838-0483, 800-838-0483. The Social Security Hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
There's a new answer for people in need of serious pain relief. Lidocare has created a one-of-a-kind pain relief patch that blocks pain for up to 8 hours. With the only non-water-based lidocaine patch on the market, Lidocare uses patent-pending technology to desensitize aggravated nerves for an odor-free, ultra-flexible, dry, and light solution to pain. The Lidocare Pain Patch from the makers of Blue Emu. For long-lasting relief you can wear. Available at CVS.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
In my line of work, I'm trying to make a difference. Not $1 billion, but I do want to be able to save for the future. So this year, I partnered with TIAA to help me map out what I should be doing. Together, we came up with a personalized plan for my finances. And now, it seems like a life of rewarding work just might pay off for a lifetime.
See how we're helping those who do good do well at the new TIAA.org. TIAA, created to serve, built to perform.
Welcome back to the program. All right, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean and Professor Rick Plum. Now, as we approach tax time, and for many people, not for everybody, but we're going to be continuing this, I think, one more day anyway, with Professor Plum, talking about the pros and cons of, well, guess what, filing an extension. Now, this won't be all day, but there are some pros and there are some cons. We can at least get a segment or so out of it. And there are people who really are thinking about doing this. And so we will talk to you, Professor Plum, who will not be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm told.
I will not. And unfortunately,
something about a wedding or not yours.
Not
but
mine, no. I've got 30 years under the belt on mine.
Right, exactly. But the next generation of Plums has to start their own 30-year clock.
Or ticket. More. Or hopefully, more. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
That's happening soon. And
soon and very soon. That's right.
And we're being inundated by relatives coming in for
inundated by relatives. Let's hope that they aren't listening as they're flying in today. All right. Anyway, so that'll be coming up tomorrow. And Terry Keyes will be sitting in for Professor Rick Plum, not tomorrow, but starting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And maybe a couple of days after that. Depends on how much
recovery
fun
period
Professor is having. All right. 877-PLANNER. Got a lot of stuff to get to. Not much time. Let's move along next to Larry in Phoenix. Hi, Larry. How can we help you today?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, my wife and I are going to be retiring at 62 here in about a year and a half. And what is the limit that we can earn over and above as far as income comes? And we're going to have about $33,000 between us, two of us on Social Security. Now we're going to need another $30,000 or so to live comfortably. Where's the limit where we still start getting taxed on her Social Security? And to avoid it, could I pull funds instead of from IRAs, could I pull funds from bank accounts or tax or stock accounts?
Well, there's a couple different limits. One is the retirement earnings test, which we were talking about earlier. And that's where if you have current earned income, your benefit is reduced. You said you're retiring. Are you going to try to work to supplement the extra money you need, or are you just looking for which account, my IRA, my personal account, or wherever, to take it from? Is that the issue?
Which account?
Okay, so we're not worried about losing it. We're not worried about the retirement earnings test. And so you're probably going to want to, if you're really going to turn both of your IRAs on, or not IRAs, excuse me, your Social Security's on at 62, you're probably going to want to blend where you take the incomes from, depending upon the size of your accounts. Or maybe you take half of it from an IRA, and you take the other half from a personal account that has very little earnings and doesn't, and the majority of it is a return of principal, if you can structure your strategy that way. So we need to make sure that there's enough money to do it, but we have to look at how much is it earning and things of that nature. You will not be taxed on your Social Security as long as something called your modified adjusted gross income is under $32,000. So the $32,000 is a strange number, though. The $32,000 threshold, when you look at the modified adjusted gross income, they look at all other sources of income, IRAs, interest, capital gains, passive income, all the different types of income on your tax return, but they only include half of the Social Security that was paid to you for the year. So if you're getting $33,000 from Social Security, half of that is, you know, $16,500. So that means you can have about $15,500 of other sources of income and not have dime one of tax on your Social Security.
Okay.
Now, but if all you have is $16,500 of IRA distributions and no other taxable income, you still have a negative tax bracket. So we can actually go a little higher than that because we have two different things working for us. We have how much of the Social Security is taxable, and then what are our deductions and exemptions and things of that nature. We can have, once it actually shows up in the taxable column, we can have about $21,000 of income, including whatever portion of the Social Security is taxable, and still pay no income taxes. And then the next $9,000 or $10,000, or no, the next $18,000 for a married couple is only taxed in the 10% bracket. So it may make sense to pay a little taxes now rather than paying no income taxes and let the IRA grow to a point where the RMD gets too large. So you do have some planning here. Now, how is longevity look for either one of you?
Not good.
Not good? Okay, that's why we're taking it at 62. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, now we just have to map out how much we can take out of the IRA to, you know, kind of max out what we can pay in or not pay on taxes, or max out the 10% bracket, and then take the rest of it from the personal accounts to make sure we don't go into a higher bracket. Whether we go into any bracket or into the 15% bracket, that's where we have to play the game. And it depends on how much is in your IRA. How much is currently in your tax-deferred world between you and your wife?
Between me and my wife, about $700,000.
Okay. And how much is in the personal side?
In the personal side would be probably $110,000.
So we're going to want to take, even with, you know, we're going to want to take the majority of it from the IRA. I would suggest looking at how much we could take out and stay in the 10% bracket, which means we're going to be able to take most of that 30 from the IRA. Because if you don't take it from the IRA, I mean, you could for the next 4, 5, 6 years take it all from the $100,000. But then the only thing left is IRA, and it's grown, yeah. And your required minimum distribution is more than $30,000, so you'll be paying even more in taxes. So it's, we don't want to be too short-sighted on this and drop our income to nothing for a year or two and then get hit later on when we're 70. You blend it today, taking probably $20,000, $25,000 a year out of the IRA and then the $5,000 or $6,000 a year out of the personal account.
Okay. When does the age limit kick in as far as no taxes on the Social Security?
When you die. There is no age limit. As long as you're alive and you're making more than $32,000 of modified adjusted gross income, there's a potential tax. There is no age limit on the taxability potential of a Social Security benefit.
So the age limit I hear is just the penalization of the amount that you can take before they suspend it on you?
The age limit that you're referring to is if you were working, you had earned income, you went out and got a job for $20,000, $30,000 or more a year. That rule goes away when you hit full retirement age, which for you is a little after age 66. But that's earned income, not total income.
And not taxability, right.
Current earned income, the retirement earnings test, that will not tax your Social Security. They'll just take it away. But you're not going to be having earned income when you're receiving your Social Security. That's why I asked if you were going to supplement this with a job.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Hey, Larry, I got to end the hour here. So if you want to hang on, you need some more information. In fact, hang on anyway, because we can talk to you a little bit more off the air. Stick around. We can answer some more of your questions. Important stuff. These could all be wonderful topics for a future show. If you need the Brain Trust off the air, a great time to call is now, because you can talk to Professor Plum or any of the Brain Trust advisors at Lucia Capital Group. 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Professor Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are
subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.